humiliation of having to go out and get it out of the trash bag was enough to teach you, at least for a little while, that I should do what Mom says. Sometimes Mom would say, do the dishes. Or Dad would say, mow the grass. And you wanted to make sure that you did those things. Because there was nothing worse than hearing the sound of the water start to fill the sink and realize that Mom was now doing the dishes that she had told you to do. Maybe you experienced that in your life where it was one thing to be yelled at, why didn't you do those dishes? But it was another thing if Mom started doing them herself. Or if you heard the lawnmower out in the yard and you looked out and Dad was mowing grass, you didn't want to be in the house when Dad was done. Maybe you experienced that in your lives. There was something about when your parents said do something and you didn't do it and they did it themselves that struck terror into a young child's heart. And tonight we read from John chapter 13, one of the most beautiful chapters in all of Scripture. And I could literally spend a lifetime reading and studying John chapter 13. And I could preach on any number of little tidbits that come to the surface when I read John chapter 13. But tonight, Holy Spirit has laid upon me this idea that Jesus is giving us something to do. He says it very clearly, doesn't he? I've washed your feet. Now you wash each other's feet. I can imagine the disciples as they are reclining at the table, seeing their master, their Lord, rising up from the table. Maybe he has something important to say. Maybe he wants to tell us something about the kingdom that is yet to come. Maybe he wants to tell us all about how great we all are and how wonderful it is to have us all in his presence. And then he takes off his outer garment and he puts on the garment of the servant and begins to wash the disciples' feet. That was not a job for the master. That was not even a job for any of the servants. If someone was assigned the task of washing the feet of the guests, they were the lowest servant in the house. Or maybe they were the last born girl because the boy wouldn't wash the feet. Maybe one of the daughters, especially the last one, the one that we can't marry off, she can wash the feet of the people who are coming. It was the lowest job that was available in that culture, to wash the feet of someone, and that was a very important job. We're all sitting on nice chairs. That's a rather modern invention. Chairs didn't really take off and grow in popularity until about the 1500s. If someone was sitting in a chair, they were probably royalty. And you even today can see the great thrones that we build for leaders. Or when someone is in charge of a committee, we call them the chairperson. We're saying something significant, that they are a person of honor. The king doesn't spend a lot of time, or the queen, standing up and doing things. The queen or king sits in one spot, and all of the activity takes place around the royals while they sit. And they're trained to sit very still, almost not moving at all, as all the activity takes place around them. And then here's Jesus, who of any of us should be the most royal. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We picture him seated in heaven, on the great throne of heaven with God the Father, and Jesus seated at the right hand. And here he is, the King of Glory, who came from heaven doing the work that is the most menial job available, to begin to wash the disciples' feet. And if you know anything about Israelite heritage and the development of modern footwear, you know that Israel is a very dusty place, and the shoes that Israelites wore in those days were probably sandals. And so there's a lot of dirt, a lot of grime collected in the course of walking through a day. So here is Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. The lowest job imaginable. And we see the reaction, the surprise at what Jesus is doing. And Peter says, whoa, you're not going to wash my feet. I'm not going to allow you, Jesus, to do the work that I want to do myself. Peter's like me when I was a kid saying, oh no, Jesus is doing the work that one of us should have done. And Jesus says, no, because I'm teaching you something very important here. I'm teaching you what the kingdom of heaven is like, where if you want to be great, if you want to be important in my kingdom, you're going to be looking for the opportunities to be the least, to be the servant, not to sit still and allow the world's activities to take place around you, but to be actively involved in what's going on in that world. That's what Jesus is demonstrating to Peter. Peter, you can't save yourself. Yeah, I know you want me to wash your entire body, but I've already made you clean. There's nothing more that you can do to add to that. I've made you clean. And then he throws this challenge. What I've done for you, you do for each other. Anybody in here ever washed somebody else's feet? You have some? Yeah? Does it happen very often? Doesn't happen very often, does it? And yet, it's very clear in the scripture, isn't it? Very clear. If Jesus tells us to do anything in all of scripture, he very clearly and specifically says, did you see me wash your feet? Now you wash each other's feet. So we think of the basin and the washcloth, but is that what Jesus is telling us to do? But there's a cultural thing about that, isn't there? In that culture, washing someone's feet was not only a low task, but it was an important task. It needed to be done. Tables weren't high, they were on the ground, and you were sitting, lying down to eat, and your feet were near the person next to you. That had to be done. So I wonder, it's not our culture to wash people's feet. So what is it in our culture that would be the equivalent of washing each other's feet? I wonder if you think of something that is in our culture that no one wants to do, and yet it's an important thing to do and needs to be done. I don't have that answer for you. I'm sure you can all think of those things yourselves. And as you think of those things, some of them are very specific jobs that people are paid for, but some things are done and no one knows. They just get done because they need to be done. I think that's what Jesus is calling us to do, to be among the people in the world. Look for those places where you can wash the feet of your brothers and sisters. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever that task is that I don't want to do that, but I know it's important, and I don't want the credit for it. In fact, I know that there'll probably not be any credit. It'll probably be shame to do it. But look for those opportunities. God is calling us to be not seated, firmly planted, but to be moving about his world, looking for those opportunities to serve someone else. Who's missing? Kristen and Ryan. Ryan spent a day with Dad today. I preach at Richland Woods once a month. And so I took Ryan with me this morning because he didn't have school, he didn't have therapy. I took him with me to preach at Richland Woods. And he was such a good boy. He sat there the whole time, and the people at Richland Woods just loved him, and they barely paid attention to what I said, but that was all right. And then he walked around the Richland Woods, that second floor, beautiful place. And then we went to visit some people. We went to Arbutus, and we went and saw Pastor Keith over at Belmont Church. He had a busy day, and he's tired now. And he's been tired all day. He didn't sleep very well last night. And he was grumpy. And he was crying, and he took his glasses and popped the lenses out of the frames. Fortunately, we could put them right back in. But that's always a sign that he's mad when he takes his glasses and pops the lenses out of there. And spent most of this evening just bawling and crying and being very fussy. And what do I see when I go over home? I see it's all going to be all right, holding that little boy, giving him his food. She had to feed him herself because he didn't want to eat. So she had to shovel that food in there, had to give him his milk, change his underpants and change his clothes. Do all of that stuff that she does, she's not looking for a reward for that. She'd be mad at me for even telling you, so don't tell her. Don't tell her we had this conversation. Hey, Tom. But I can't tell you the respect I have for Mrs. Sands. I can't tell you the way that I'm humbled to be her husband, to be able to walk through this life with her, because when I see her, I see someone who demonstrates that on a daily basis. Someone who is a servant for a little boy who's never going to say thanks, except for sometimes he will, but for the most part, he just needs it. He just needs it. He needs somebody in his life to do those things for him. So it's easy for me to look at that and say, there's an example right there. But we all know somebody. Think about it. Think about that person who, in your life, who you have such respect for. They're not looking for a pat on the back. They're not looking for, oh, what a great job you do doing all these things. They just do the work that needs to be done because they have a servant's heart. I have to beat Kristen into heaven. Do you know why? No, because when I get there, she's going to make me look bad. So I have to die first to beat her there. Do you know somebody like that in your life who you have so much respect for? Think about that. They're not the kind of person who sits still, are they? And lets the world happen around them. I guarantee, if you're thinking of a person like that in your life, they are someone who is always at work, always doing what the master has called them to do. What a blessing. Now, what does Jesus say? You watch them, and then you do it too. You find those ways where God's calling you to serve, and just do it. And don't do it because you want a pat on the back. Do it because your Father sees what no one else does, and change the world. God loves you. And so do I.